You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? It's The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray. Oh my gosh, it's Super Bowl Sunday. How's everybody doing? I am playing with this new background. I think I'm going to get a green screen. I have it here. We're going to get a team up here and light it up. Just changing things up. I cannot believe I did the show on Super Bowl Sunday, but I'm excited. We have a guest that's really awesome. Quick note before we start, because I want to get you guys back to your Super Bowl. And I want to give a shout out to After Dark Cigars. After Dark Cigars, thank you so much. What a cool logo, the vampire. I was down in South Florida on my way back from Europe and Africa over Christmas. I stopped by to see a friend, and they had a cool little lounge. He gave me a shirt. I told him I'd give him a shout out, and he gave me a shirt. I didn't expect that. That was very cool. Thank you so much. It was nice. They let ladies into the cigar lounge. Also, guys, I want to share something about Sundance. I haven't opened it yet. I was there networking for a brand, as you guys know, and for my films. But I went and saw one film, and it was Pee-wee as himself. Pee-wee Herman. And I haven't put the... Guys, 3.5 hours. It was like Malcolm X. Bring your own pocket snacks, by the way. I didn't have any popcorn. What a documentary. What insight. I learned so much. You know, you don't really see it as a kid, what people go through to get something on the air like that, how they come up with the theme song, all the pebbles on his road. So just as an entrepreneur, stay focused, stay confident. Don't be discouraged. And if you are, it's okay today to be discouraged, but pick yourself back up because these things are all coming on your path to give you success in some way or another. Speaking of success, we have Dan on the line. Dan, Jay Burger, excuse me. You have to get the J in there.
Don't forget the J.
Dan, welcome to The Startup. How are you?
All right. Nice bow tie.
Thank you. Welcome. I want to go full screen on Dan. I want you to introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers and tell us about your brand.
Sure. My name is Dan J. Burger. I am an entrepreneur. I would say serial entrepreneur, but I hate that term. So to me, entrepreneur is reserved for people who exited companies, and serial entrepreneurs is people who have multiple exits. So I have multiple businesses, but I only exited one. I live in Boise, Idaho. I spend most of my life in New York City, and I moved to Boise, Idaho during the pandemic. And I have a daughter who's 3 months old and a lovely wife named Jen.
You know, I like that definition that you're putting out there for entrepreneurs now. This is the 2025 guide by Mr. Burger. So exiting or not. Serial or not, you will know.
That's right. Okay. Well, it's just like everybody's an entrepreneur, right? And I'm just like, hold on, wait a second.
Right. I like that you put a little emphasis on what that is. And we should be talking about that. Like, what defines true entrepreneurship, and was it successful? Like, were you able to exit with some coin? Like, what are we talking about?
I sold for $100 million. Oh. I started my business. I'm an immigrant. I moved to the States when I was 9. I didn't speak a word of English. I went to public schools my whole life, except for grad school. I'm adopted. So I think I have a lot of things that kind of defined me very early on, and kind of not having a sense of self, immigration, adoption, and you know, just that stuff. And I was lost for a really long time, and I never had my sense of belonging, which is why I wrote my book about belonging. And after kind of taking some time after selling my business, I decided to focus on belonging, because I feel like that's really missing for a lot of people in their lives, especially, I mean, so many people, but many entrepreneurs, it's why they start their business. It's because, like, I don't feel like I belong anywhere, so let me go do my own thing.
Wow. You checked all the boxes. I don't know what form this was, but you've checked. Okay, wait, there's a lot of sandwich here, which I love. Okay, good. So, and thank you for being transparent right now on a Sunday, a Super Bowl Sunday, by the way. So you,
I said I'm an immigrant. I've been in the States for, you know, 33 years. I'm 43, moved here when I was 9, 10.
Right.
I still don't know the rules. Well, I still don't know the rules of football.
What? I don't want you to have to ride around with your paperwork also.
I just don't know what the hell's going on. I'd only watch Super Bowl and I had Wikipedia on one screen and I had the Super Bowl on another.
What do you mean you don't know the rules?
I don't get it. I don't even know.
We're singing about it at halftime.
I know. Well, I'll bet you something. I bet you most people, when you ask them to show me 3 yards, they will have no idea what 3 yards is.
I know. And it better include ballet, damn it, if you're European. It better include ballet. The heels are alive. All right. So you're really great. I really love that you did the New York thing and you exited. There was a mini mass exodus. Because it's funny you're saying Idaho to me because all week it's been Idaho. I don't know what the Idaho potatoes is going on. Another client, he's a doctor. He's amazing. He's doing Oscars week with us. Dr. Vaughn. Shout out to Dr. Vaughn. He is Idaho. And then I was looking at property in Idaho. And then I had a guest talking about real estate investment in Idaho. And now you're talking about, so what made you choose Idaho, first of all, in the pandemic? I think I understand you have a family. That makes kind of good sense. But what made you choose that?
So basically, I was actually in D.C. for the last 10 years pre-pandemic. So I was in New York for 20 years and then in D.C. for 10. Yeah, 10 plus 20 by plus 10 is 40. And I've been in Idaho for 3 years. So, basically during the pandemic, I was in DC. It was March. Things were shutting down by the minute. People were staying at home. I remember, watching like my favorite artists like do Zooms. And I was like, this is driving me insane. I happened to, have resources to take the time off and not have to work. And I had the time. I was not in a relationship. So I called up my boys and I was like, hey. Do you guys want to take a road trip? And my friend Oscar, was like, yeah, my parents have a place in Sarasota. Why don't we drive down there and hang out for 2 weeks? And beautiful. At the time, President Trump said it was going to pass. So I believed him. Remember, he was like, hey, no big deal. He said, we're going to beat it. We're going to kill it with bleach.
Right. I remember those days.
So I was like, okay, President, I'm gonna just bug out for 2 weeks and come back and everything will be okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to bug it out. Yeah.
So then, 2 weeks turned into 4 weeks, and then like we're like, all right, this Florida thing's getting boring. Why don't we hit the road? So what's supposed to be a 2 week vacation ended up being a 4 month road trip across America.
What?
Yeah. And I was
by the way, can I just pause? I know we're not talking about the bros, but like what a time it to be alive where you have all the potato chips and, honky tonk saloon stops and the little dirty no-tell motels and the fun. Yep. Just single. So like how fun. You had enough cash in your pocket.
Yep.
Everybody was happy to see you because everybody's on a walk. And how cool did you?
I had like an entourage,
You did. You did the entourage America Does Pandemic series.
Yeah. So basically, I've always felt like I wanted to share my wealth. Hospitality is at my core. My business was in the hospitality industry. It was software. My new business is retreat centers. It's in the hospitality business. I love bringing people together. That's what I did in my treehouse when I was a little boy. It's what I did in my company when I sold it. So I was like, well, listen, guys, one guy's a sound engineer on Love and Hip Hop. And he was like, well, I can't work because they're going to stop shooting. And I was like, all right, get in the car. Then my other friend was a chef.
Get in the car. Get your sleeping bag and get in, Dan.
That's right. Exactly. Another guy was like, I'm a chef. I can't cook. Get in the car.
Let's kill it. Let's go. Yeah.
Another one was a real estate guy. Nobody was doing Jack.
He can handle the math. Like, he can handle the math. Yeah.
Get in the car. Before you know it, we had four guys, my dog, a couple scooters, and we headed down to Florida. And I was like, I'm gonna fund this trip. So basically it cost me about 10 grand per month for 4 months, so 40 grand. And we just took Airbnbs for like a week at a time.
I was gonna say, because you could will and deal on a Hampton Inn. I don't know what you were doing.
100%. But Airbnb was pennies on the dollar.
Was it?
Yes, because in the beginning of the pandemic, nobody wanted to book it. Nobody was traveling.
Right. But by June, you could get it for like $50. Right. You could get it.
Yeah, true. Okay. So basically, and then we like, the only way to meet people was like posting on Craigslist. So we went on Craigslist and we posted like, hey, we're having a house party. Come down.
Where's Craig at, by the way? Who's protecting Craig? Anybody check on Craig? How's Craig doing?
Who's Craig? Oh, my, one of my boys? Yeah, well, Craig's, yeah, he's probably list. Passed out. Craig's he's list. Passed out in the pool. Wait, what was that?
Craigslist Craig.
Oh, yeah. Craig Newmark. Craig Newmark. Yeah. He's he's a weird guy, isn't he?
He's got to start somewhere.
Amazing. Amazing. He hasn't changed our website in 30 years.
That thing is really like dial up. It's dial up energy.
It's dial up. Yeah. Yeah. It's text based.
I used to cast at MTV, not to interject your road trip. I used to be casting for like Dismissed and Next and Who Wants to Marry My Dad, like MTV shows. And I remember us going on Craigslist. It gets shady in some of those areas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's really webby.
Well, we vetted our guests.
How did that house party go? What did you call it?
Oh, which one? I mean, yeah, we like, it was fun. I mean, look, I was single. My friends were single. We just had a good time. And, you know, I look back and like, I think that's what actually I realized I was an addict and I'm now, you know, sober. Oh. But, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I think I'm 8 months. But yeah, that's what made me realize like, hey, I spent 4 months with my friends and I was like, I don't want to be like this. You know, it was like living with a mirror. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, beyond. Well, it was a mobile mirror, but I think with kindness, right? You know yourself better than anyone, and we're going to get into your business, but I really love your transparency, and I think the viewers and listeners are enjoying this as well. We're giving you a little shout out here with Dan J. Berger, and it's during Super Bowl, but we'll get off before halftime. Don't worry, everybody.
It started?
Not yet. Well, the Super Bowl just started, but the halftime we're going to get off before. But
oh, I got to watch Kendrick Lamar. We got
to
watch.
We have to. Come on, they're not like us. We're LA, no. But I like that you said that you have like a mirror. It's true, but I think we have to grant ourselves some grace in that time. Like, you know, who lived through a pandemic ever that we know? So I think we were all on. I was on a plane like a crazy person every single other day or two. And that was the opposite. You know, I wasn't in my pajamas ordering Amazon. I did a lot of that when I got home. You were at a house party across America. So, I mean, I think, you know, we weren't ourselves and I was definitely drinking more than I should, but the flights were so cheap and I was doing my films. So I think I was capturing something in a pandemic. You were, you know, doing your thing. So you were coming from Florida. You got bored of that. Fast forward as to how you landed in Idaho. I'm really intrigued.
Yeah. So basically, it was month four.
Okay.
All that was left in the car was me and my friend. Cause everybody like you know, you spent so much time with people like, God, I hate you.
Wait, and there's four people that started, right?
Oh yeah, that's right. And then one person, we cycled one person and they got replaced. And then
it's like road rules. It's like road rules in the pandemic era.
We got him off the bench. We're like, hey, listen, you know, come, you know.
You picked him up in Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, how did he get there? I forget. He actually did fly to LA. Yeah, Matt flew to LA. That's right.
Matt's a trooper.
He is. He saved us. So I was like, all right. It was me and my other friend. And we were driving to Bozeman from Salt Lake.
Okay.
And then we made a left to Boise. And then I got there and I got past the rolling hills and I was like, wow, this place is beautiful. As I entered the Treasure Valley, I realized there is just so much beauty here. And I just felt this kind of moment where I was like, well, what if I left the East Coast and moved here? And I made that decision.
It's just a peace that came over you, like a calm.
Yeah, I think I realized, you know, to be honest, I didn't want to go back to the East Coast where I would be a big fish in a huge pond. You know, and like New York or DC is a rat race that as I was entering my 40s, I didn't really want to be a part of anymore.
Yeah.
And I realized I can have way more impact because I'm a leader. I love community building. I love bringing people together. I can have way more impact in a small place with knowledge and experience that I have.
Yeah. And it's funny how places speak to you, right? You're like, I wasn't even looking. It's like a relationship. You're like, who are you? I'm in Cabo, minding my own business. And it just hits you on the side of your neck. And you need to really, in just like with business though, if you're smart and if you are, you know, firing with all your cylinders, you're going to pay attention to that and you're going to seize the opportunity. Speaking of risk-taking and taking opportunities, you landed in Idaho, you have a family now, you have these successful businesses, and you're a serial entrepreneur because you know how to exit and enter. Talk to me about now, Q1 2025. What the hell are you up to, Dan? What are you most proud of looking at yourself now? What's going on?
Yeah, so I think it took me a minute. Whenever I answer this question, I always am very aware of being like the way I present myself and showing up as a straight, perceived white. I'm actually 70% North African, but perceived white male. And I'm like, okay, well, I can tell the story. And the reality is, like, anybody who exited, whether you're white, blue, or red, everybody kind of goes through a moment. They're like, okay, now what? And for most people, it's like, oh, I'm going to go do mushrooms in the fucking, oh, sorry, can I curse?
Of course.
Okay, great. I'm going to do some mushrooms in the Brazilian rainforest and like talk to God. And sure, that was great to do. But like, what I realized is that this hole that I had in me was that I never had a sense of belonging, and I kept trying to cover that up. Mm-hmm. So I kept trying, I was, you know, chronically dating in order to feel loved. I chased these experiences to feel a sense of belonging. I started a company to feel a sense of belonging, right? Where I was king. You know, and I was like, I don't have my, and then I sold my company. I was like, well, I don't have my sense of belonging. What does it mean? And I spent, you know, 3 years kind of looking for it and understanding where I find belonging, which is different for every person.
Wow.
And then I ended up writing a book about it that basically is not like the story of me. It's not anecdotes. It's none of that stuff. It's literally a process, a guide that I developed throughout thousands of hours. To figure out how people can find their sense of belonging. So that's what I spent my time. And then that really talks to what I think my superpower is, which is bringing people together. I'm really good at it. And I start communities and I lead communities. And then I said, well, what if I take that superpower and I help teams find their sense of belonging? And that's why I started retreat centers. So I started an urban retreat center concept. The first one's opening later this year.
Yay!
And it's basically a place where, yeah, teams come together and, you know, set goals, team build, be active together, and just, you know, make the juice.
Make the juice. Now, we're not Jim Josing it, everybody. This is Dan J. Berger. He's successful. He's awesome.
And
we're off the juice. But I love. And you're helping teams find their sweet spot. I want to talk to you and your representation offline about my team. I joined Sorghum United at the last part of the year as VP of Marketing Media. And I think that those things are really helpful. But I really like what you just did there with being transparent about being adopted and saying you never felt like you belong. So you're like, F it, I'm going to create my own thing. And you've been doing that since you're a child. And I wonder if you knew that. And when you first knew that, was that your first like aha moment? Did that really unlock your freedom as a leader, as an entrepreneur? Did you really get free when you said, hey, I got control of this thing? Was that your superpower? You say building villages, but your superpower really is being adopted, right? And creating your own, right?
Well, I think overcoming adversity is certainly something entrepreneurs must have, which is kind of like basic and obvious. But the difference is you can only overcome adversity with exceptional work ethic. And quite frankly, I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't necessarily have that. And that separates, you know, the men from the boys, if you will. Because if you don't have the grit, then you ain't going to make it. And for me, you know, it's the fear. It's the desire to feel belonging. It's the chase. Sure. I realized I didn't have it, but it's the chase that kept me going. And, you know, I remember when I started my company and I got it to 120 employees and 20 million in revenue. And when we started the company, it was just like a bunch of us. And there was a moment where we went out one night and we couldn't have one conversation. The table was too big. There were too many people. And I was like, oh, wow. We have more than one conversation going on at the same time. And I was like a really special moment. And then we got to 40 people and I'm like, well, this is not fun anymore. I can't really make friends anymore because I got to carry myself a certain way, or like I can't kind of, there's just way more, I don't know, signaling that's important. And just a lot more barriers between you and the front and the line. So the point I'm making is once that started happening, I kind of realized there was something wrong where when you rely on your workplace for your relationships, for potentially meeting your partner, for shared activities, where sometimes the culture is a religion, where you spend all your time there, that creates a fake sense of belonging. Because as soon as you're fired or as soon as you leave, it's gone. And the true test of belonging is whether those relationships are sustained. But the reality is, as I talk about in my book, many people find belongings in many different ways. So for me, I found belonging through self-esteem. And when I lost that leadership position, when I lost the awards, when I lost speaking at conferences, I lost my self-esteem.
God, it's so real. It's so true, because a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we really start from this place of deficit emotionally, deficit from family support, deficit from finances, deficit from love, deficit from anything. And you're like, holy shit, okay, all right, well, that's what they did. And, you know, God bless, they're just a guy and a girl that got together and had us. But like, what can I do? I can create my thing. And I can do it. And then you find that you're putting, I get that so much. I get that so much, except for I'm a little weird where I'm kind of a hermit. So that table sounds like my worst nightmare. That sounds like too many people. I would have sent a couple people to, I would have said hi and bye. Like,
yeah, well, you know, you strike me as potentially a wolf. I define four belonging personas. Oh. The chimp, which is kind of like somebody who's always eager to socialize, the meerkat who's a little anxious to socialize, and the snow leopard who never wants to socialize, and then the wolf who wants to socialize and doesn't want to socialize and they still feel like they belong. So, and then I have this like fun test people can take, and this is all research backed. It's based on your attachment style and some other psychology constructs.
Huge.
But the point you're making is exceptionally important, because when I was CEO, I thought to myself, okay, well, if Monique doesn't show up to the happy hour, then she doesn't feel like she belongs. And if she doesn't feel like she belongs, she's on my shit list. And if she's on my shit list, I'm going to watch her like a hawk. And I'm going to try like a hawk. I'm going to find her problems, and then I'll get her fired. So that was my problem, is that I thought that people not showing up to social things was them dissing the company. When in reality, that's not how they found belonging.
Oh, my God. Guys, we do this show every Sunday, and sometimes we have church and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we go to temple. I didn't know we were going to go all the way in. You are really keeping it real. Like, no wonder that could align you with creating an experience you've always had. You wanted to make sure that you, because we're creatures of habit. So you're like, let me get back to controlling my experience, because I can't trust if this is like, you're like, let me put this, let's call a thing in the way I can understand it. And let me create it the way I need it to show up. Oh, it showed up again. I must be right. I mean, I kind of get that.
Now I will add to that, Monique. It's actually, you don't only do that, but you also say, well, I find belonging this way. So why doesn't everybody else find belonging this way?
It's not about you. Yeah, it's not about you. Ever.
Yeah.
It's not about
you. My friend Matt used to, never like a person in your group chat, they never talk. They always read it. They don't talk. Hmm. You're like, yo, you read the text. Why aren't you responding? That was funny. Why don't you? And they're like, I don't want to, or like, I don't want to engage. Mm-hmm. So my friend Matt was like one of those people, and I'd always get mad at him. I'd be like, Matt, yo, we're chatting. Chat with us. And he's like, no, I don't want to. I want to go play with helicopters on my own. Like literally he played like with model helicopters. And then I just realized he finds a sense of belonging in a different ways than I did.
Now, let me push back a little there. Like I get all that and I want to respect people's communication styles. But you know, when you're engaging in a group business setting or family setting, I call a thing a thing. And I've even been in a family chain where I'm like, please everybody don't kill me. But I was like, guys, you guys are demanding commanding a response here, and you're telling me about all these things. But when I drop my tea or my announcement, crickets, or maybe like one person. And I'm this is not okay, because then it triggers me, and you don't know that, but it triggers me into thinking that you don't care. So like that whole inner dialogue going on, and us as entrepreneurs, we bring that shit into our business. Mm-hmm. We have to really fix it. And I had a conversation at the top of this show years ago. And I said, you really have to just fix your shit because you're going to bring it into business. I'm still cleaning that up. What a work we do. I mean, I just turned 47 a couple weeks ago. And thank God I'm not where I was. But you will miss opportunities to get paid if you do not know that you can get paid. Like, I had to have a conversation about, oh, remember when you were doing yard sales when you're a little girl and you're selling your brother's radio flyer and candy for the school assembly? I had to tell myself I was worth it. This is my rate. I'm not negotiating on it. And this is why. Take it or leave it. But that conversation came way after knowing, you know, so you're touching on a lot of cool things. So if you're a business leader and you want to join Dan, tell us the next time they can join you and how can we get your book? How can we get on?
Yeah. You know, so the first thing that's coming to mind as you say that is I feel like there is, you're right, but I think what the issue is that people don't really know themselves. And I mean, the Stoics had it right when they said, know thyself. And so many people think they know themselves or they fall into the habits. Like, for example, they still chat with a group of friends that that they were from college and they'd have nothing in common with them anymore.
At all. Not at all.
You know what I'm saying?
Or like, maybe the one bar. That's it.
yeah, exactly. Like, what are they still talking about? Like the game from 20 years ago? Like, it's silly. And I think a lot of people, so, you know, and I think that the name, some people do what their parents told them to do. Like, oh, go play sports or go play music or do this. And like, that's a hand-me-down belonging. Why am I taking I'm my own person. So a lot of it's just like personal exploration and understanding how you find your belonging. And the way I think about it really quickly is I think about like a fuel tank, and it's just, we pour all kinds of belonging activities that some of them are successful and some of them are not. And sometimes we got to, you know, siphon them out and take this one out because it's not working. And we got to add this one in. And there's just, and in my book, I discuss like over 30 ways to find belonging and just how to go about them.
Oh, this is great. So you would say, I always say the pebbles on your road lead you to where you're going, all the little experiences. So you would probably gather that experience with that coworker that wanted to not engage, all the other things are in this book, and you have drawn from that to know how to handle different situations, right? I mean, if someone's a startup entrepreneur thinking about starting up, they could get this book and it potentially navigate through your wreckage. Not that it was wreckage, but your experiences and avoid other things, right?
I mean, well, you know, I think things have changed. Okay. I used to, you know, you said, I used to say like, don't bring your traumas to work. Like, I get that you have traumas. Everybody's got traumas and everybody's pain is at a maximum. Like, I poke you and that, you've never been hurt before. That hurts like hell. But if I, you know, cut you, that's also hurts like hell. And it's worse than a poke. The point I'm making is that I'm not going to judge anybody's traumas. Everybody's got real traumas, no matter what they went through. And there has to be a boundary of bringing that pain to work. And a lot of people bring that pain to work. And it's even worse when leaders or entrepreneurs do it. So for that reason, I really think, and I'm happy the tide has changed. Post-COVID, we're starting to separate work and life again. And I think that's really important. And I think that, you know, so, like, it depends on the culture. Some cultures like work hard, play hard, totally fine. But for me, where business is going is this back to a separation of, you know, not just work-life balance, but like work-life integration, where we draw the lines. Work is very transactional. Here's your check. You know, see you later. Thank you. And that to me means that you're finding belonging outside of work.
Yeah.
Which is really important.
But I can see why that would be the hill you're dying on right now. You're not dying, but I can see why that serves you in the moment. I wonder if there's a balance somewhere where healthy business boundaries and healthy personal boundaries could meet, and there could be a space at the water cooler. I do not know.
Yeah, I think there might be. I mean, I was a hustle porn guy. Like, I loved the hustle. I was a hustle porn. You know, the term like,
oh yeah,
like, you know, just go like, you know, like the Elon Musk, like sleep on your couch kind of thing. Like, I was about that life. And I think that that was driven from my anxiety over like succeeding. The reality is that now that I'm a little older, a little wiser, have a little more kind of roomed in the margins, I can take a little more time to do things meticulously and not necessarily hire the 27-year-old who's going to quit to go to Spotify. Like I can get somebody who's more, you know, committed.
Right.
Like when you hire young people, that only young people work that hard. And when you do, when you hire for the most part, and when you do, they're very poachable. Like my average age was 27. And when I brought on, when parents were like, I can't make that Saturday night work thing because I got kids. I was like, well, fuck you. Like, that's not fair.
Right. Let's write that in the HR contract. But I, you know, I come from production where it was.
I mean, that's a different thing.
But it's changed because I just do it my way now and from home. But like 20 years ago, what do you mean? What do you mean you can't? No. What do you mean?
Right.
3 hours a day. What is that?
Right.
Yeah. That's not even a thing. If you're not 16 hours a day, 14 hours a day, you're out.
I love it. Yeah. And that's the culture. That's the culture.
But that was the culture.
You know?
It kind of is. Well, and you know, with the pandemic, you know, you talk about like, gosh, you know, it's interesting to see it because I could see it in my head with like the pajamas on the bottom and the production, you know, work on top with the Zooms and all those things that happen. And then you don't know because you're in your kitchen and you've got your people's got their dogs and their kids and we didn't have a line, but now. This is a nice new chapter in your entrepreneurship where you can say, hey, I know my value. I don't get it from work anymore. What a beautiful hallelujah moment for us chronic workaholic entrepreneurs. We'd love to hear it. And
that's because I get it from my mission. I don't get it from my work. My life is aligned with my mission. Pardon me?
And you don't get it from your pain.
Well, that's exactly right. So my mission is to help every person find a sense of belonging. That's my mission, my personal mission. I do that through writing my book. I do that through my nonprofit. I do it through my the men's group I run. I do it through my new company. And that's how I do it. So just because I'm not working on the company doesn't mean I'm not working on my mission. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. But I think what an undertaking, Dan. Like, God, dog, that's a lot to take on to help people find themselves because people are fucked up. Sorry, guys. I love you guys. But we're all a little effed up. And I know that perhaps someone, because you're empathetic and you don't want someone to feel the way you felt, so you feel like you have to do that. But I wonder, has that undertaking been successful for you or hard? Or have you ever just been like, I got to hang my hat? I mean, that's quite an undertaking.
Well, I mean, I think anytime there's somebody, you know, that's my mission. And I mean, I'll certainly not achieve it, but I'll make a dent in it. I think our country is sick. Mm-hmm. I think society is sick. Mm-hmm. And I think the answer, and I refer to it as the belonging crisis. Mm-hmm. And I think people lack belonging. They don't know how to find it. So they're choosing a lot of bad things. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to think about the last election where it's like, you know, Trump was a tribe. And Kamala was a huge tent without an end. And both things don't work. When you're like, everybody's included, like then people feel like no one's included. And when you say only this group's included, then everybody else doesn't feel included. So it's tribalism and on both sides or type of it and community, the word community kind of taken too far that includes everybody. Mm-hmm. The reality is if you include everybody, like no one is actually included. And I think that in order for us to solve this belonging crisis, every person needs to embark on their own quest to find it.
And have that self-constitution that's strong, honest, aware, and truthful, just like you would want your employees. Hold yourself to that same standard. I mean, we have to be aware, you know, we have to be self-aware and aware and own it. And I love what you're saying. It does trickle down into business, right? We want to put these things in boxes. I sure do. And still make a case to love and be supportive of people who might not be loving and supportive of me, but belonging to yourself, having self-awareness and knowing like you come from North Africa, which we got to go, but I just want to touch on that. Speaking of belonging, you belong to the world. You belong to North. I just came back from Africa. I love it. It changed my life. I've been there a couple times, North Africa. And I finally went down to Kenya. And Ethiopia. Wow.
It been really, to both.
Yeah. So are you from Tanzania or from Morocco, or where are you from?
I'm from Moroccan to Morocco, Tunisia.
Mm-hmm. I called it. Ah, I did it wrong. I love it over there. I really, really love it. So what message do you have?
By the way, that's kind of like tribal, right? That's where like, and I say I use tribal in a good way, not a bad way in this situation. Well, today's tribalism is focused on like hate. And back then tribalism was focused on like commitment. And I mean, that's like hospitality.
Yeah,
and I love.
Yeah. And connection. But you know what's right. So funny? When you travel, when you have like, I'm gonna do a little brag because can do it. I did the 50 before 50 challenge. So I got 47 stamps. I would have had 48, but I got to the gate in Zurich and they said I couldn't go to South Africa because they need two more pages on my passport and I could not get on the plane. You don't know how pissed I was, but I was also stuck in Switzerland. So that didn't suck. But that's another story for another day. But the thing is, what I know about people who travel is there's a tribalism about it. It's kind of like that movie Up in the Air, business people and travel enthusiasts alike. You just have this light in your eyes. You have this connection. All this stuff that happens in America and everywhere else, it falls away. Oh, you're from California? Yeah, I'm from Texas. All of a sudden, we're cool. All of a sudden, you're on this side, I'm on that side. We're two Americans in another country. We're talking about that good barbecue shop. And we're talking about your friend on the ranch or whatever, or that time you came to Laguna and you loved the beach. And it's really interesting when we travel, I really see the best of humanity. But I wonder if that's your experience as well, coming from there to here.
You know, excuse me. So this is actually another path to belonging, and it's called what I call contemplative practices. And that's when you can take a moment, whether you're stargazing or whether you are in nature or whether you're traveling, when you realize, whoa, I'm part of something bigger. Mm. Like all these mycelium underneath the ground connecting us, like these mushrooms and fungus, mm-hmm. like we're all kind of connected. And at the end of the day, you can always fall back on belonging to humanity. But I think that's kind of cheesy. And I think that you need other ways of belonging besides like contemplative practices. And a lot of people in the field currently would say, oh, you need to like meditate and do all this stuff. And the reality is that's a nice to have, but at the end of the day, belonging is a social construct. It's a social idea that requires connection and it requires people. So yes, it's nice to feel connected to everything, but you still need the grounding through socialization. And I would say that, you know, one of the problems with belonging is that people say, oh, we're both American, we belong. Or we're both Jews, we belong. No, that's not enough. I've met plenty of Jews that I don't necessarily like, and I'm Jewish, you know? like, just because we're Jewish doesn't mean...
Mazel tov.
Yeah, Mazel, you had a birthday, so Mazel tov to you. I mean, so like, yes, we're Jewish, but like the point I'm making, or we're American, great. But what I like to think about is multiple qualifiers for communities to create belonging. You can't just say, oh, we're both Black or both Latino. That's not enough. You got to say, okay, we're Black entrepreneurs, you know, who are unmarried, or we're like Black entrepreneurs who, you know, who went to, you know, historically Black colleges, whatever. Like there is multiple layers to belonging, which is why so much of it is a farce and fake, because nowadays, you know, you buy a toaster and you're part of the toaster community. It's ridiculous.
No, and then little New Yorker that just came out. Don't come for me, okay? Because I've lived in Brooklyn.
Yeah, okay. So these Brooklyn people, they're all from Brooklyn. Wow.
Okay. Listen, like, I'm an LA girl, but I've lived in the East Coast. But I felt that come out, and you're right. But I guess what I'm saying is all of a sudden, to your point about the global community, like traveling and coming, like all of a sudden these things, these barriers that come up so easily about like South against the North or the West,
it all goes away because we realize there's something bigger.
Together by ourselves as Americans.
Yeah, we don't have our armor.
You know what I mean? Now,
yeah, the armor's off.
Yeah, you see me at the airport, and now we're two Americans overseas. So
hold on. What about the people, Monique, who are like Americans and they're just like, you know, stuffing their face in McDonald's and like, you know, like, do you feel like the Americans who are like, you know, drinking and are super obnoxious? We've seen those when we travel. Like, you know, is that
nightmare?
Yeah, I've probably been those people.
My worst nightmare.
But you know what I'm saying? Like,
I speak out my French at that point. I'm Creole at that point.
Yeah. You're like, I don't know those people. No parlez-vous anglais.
Ça va. It's a mess.
Right. So yes, I agree with you, but the point I'm making and is that it gets superficial real quick.
Yeah.
You know, we can see the chinks in the armor. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. So again, but even that, it's like you meet somebody like, oh, you also have a 718 area code? Wow, cool. We talk about a couple of things and they're like, okay, we got nothing else in common.
Right. No, but listen, you're right. I guess, and you know what? It could be just a tenet of, wow, I must be this desperate to make a connection with an American that's not from California or New York because I'm looking for a little signal of humanity here. Perhaps it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Maybe it is. But you're going deeper with your seminars, with your book. How can we get the book? Where's the book at?
Well, if you Google my name, Dan J. Berger, you'll find it on my website. You'll find belongingquest.com. Anybody can go there and just take a quiz, figure out what they are. And then I self-publish this book, so I'm not making a dollar off this thing.
Well, no, we're not gonna have negativity on my show. We will be making money, or money magnet. Come on now.
Yeah, no, I love it. It's just, well, let me put it this way. I spent $200,000 to publish this book, so it'll take me a long time to make that money back.
We're in Idaho, honey. You cut it down and your mortgage down a little bit.
Yeah, well, these guys were East Coast, so shit, I should have gone with an Idaho publisher. I would have printed my book on potatoes.
Oh, I'd have to.
But anyway, the book is available anywhere, belongingquest.com. And then my new company is Assemble Hospitality Group. And it's going to be super exciting. Like, I cannot wait.
Last question for you before you go. I need you to come back because you are dynamic. Obviously, you love what you do. And I really appreciate your commitment to the collective and giving what you didn't have. And you're welcome. Because you didn't have to. You could have just came here and got yours, but you don't. And you understand the collective assignment. So one area of business that you haven't done before that you're curious about, or one type of entrepreneur that you would love to help and mentor in 2025, who would that be? What would that profile look like?
So I'm listening to a wonderful book, by a guy named Gay Hendricks. He wrote it in 2009. It's called The Big Leap. And he talks about these four circles, and the best circle, so to speak, is your circle of genius. And basically he says, stay away from things you're incompetent in, stay away from things you're competent even, because everybody else can do them. Stay away from things you're excellent in, get to that, like, you know, circle of, you know, genius. And for me, my thing is hospitality. I love seeing the magic that happens when people come together. There is something beautiful about that. And I'm pretty good at making that happen. So, you know, a business that I have that I absolutely kind of like low key don't like is I own a commercial cleaning business.
Oh, don't laugh. Gotta keep it clean.
Yeah. But I did it because I backed an entrepreneur, a Serbian entrepreneur who came to America as a refugee at 20. Good. Yeah. And so to me, like, that's kind of a business that I begrudgingly participate in. But it's a money and time suck for me. As far as mentoring people, I think that was your question, right? Like business.
It's two parts. By the way, I have somebody who's Serbian here in Laguna. I want to connect you with that can help you with that. But
awesome.
He's dope. But I wanted to just say, I was asking kind of like, was there an area of business or a person, a profile, an entrepreneur style, student style or type that maybe you haven't identified yet in your experience as a serial entrepreneur that you're like, that's interesting. That's a challenge. I haven't done that yet, but how cool would that be to do it or to help, you know, in that sector? What area of business maybe is a little untapped for you? That's interesting. You don't have to like do it, but
I'm about the leaders, and I don't mentor people who don't listen to me.
What area of business, Dan?
I mean, like, real talk. Like, I wish I can get involved in really good stuff for the planet, you know. But like, for some reason, I'm unable to. And I don't know. I think I just don't care that much.
That's honest.
And the reason I don't care is because, like, I've kind of like
You can't care about everything.
But yeah, I mean, I would say the oceans. I really care about the oceans. Well, I love fish. I love coral. I really want to save the oceans. So if I can help anybody saving the oceans, I would love to help them save the oceans.
Dan, give us contact on where people can reach your representation if they want to book you for a speaking engagement, if they want to have you get into the oceans, if they want to buy your books.
Let's go.
Class, where can we find you?
Well, you can find me on any social media platform. I don't have a lot of followers anywhere, but you can be one of them. And my name on all of them is Dan Berger, and now J in there, so Dan Berger. And my email is super simple. It's dan@danjberger.com. And I'd love to hear from anybody who wants to chit chat. But like I said, if you ain't going to listen to my advice, I'm not going to keep talking to you.
I heard that.
That's only because like I don't want to waste anybody's time. You know what I'm saying?
You have explained it to me, but you can explain it.
Yeah.
I don't. My voice is cracking because of that. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Don't ask if you don't want me to. Don't pay. Don't pay me and ask me. And then.
Oh, people don't pay me though. I'll do it for free. I'll talk to anybody.
Your plan.
Maybe that's a. That's right. Yep. You're right. I need something. Yeah. Not right. The return I get is like, oh, you know something else. Like I, you know, I'm being in a 12-step program. I can't wait to have sponsees. You know, I want to sponsor people.
By the way, congratulations. I'm not in the 12-step program. I'm a lifetime wino. I will always be wino. I have a startup and know thyself, but I fucking respect that. Sorry, Sam. I cussed really big. You guys, I had so much fun with Dan J. Berger.
Yeah, this was great.
I'm going to call you out a little bit because you're a New Yorker and you can handle it. We got 1 minute left. Dan J. Berger, with all due, doesn't sound like a Tanzanian or Moroccan name.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, I'm adopted. Right. And second of all, I was born in Israel.
Now I feel like a jerk.
So I was born in Israel. So, but my parents, my biological parents, one came from Morocco and one came from Tunisia.
Fantastic.
Yep. Because there were a lot of Jews there. You know, there were a lot of Jews in North Africa and they all got kicked out.
There's all kinds of people everywhere.
Yeah, but they kicked us out.
Okay. Well, thank you for being transparent. That could be you could be a part of my new documentary called Who the Hell Am I?
Ooh, what's that all about?
Who the hell am I?
Is it about you? Is it about you?
Yeah. Like.
Oh, okay.
Let's get into it. Like I'm light skinned, I'm black. It's a whole thing. And you know, I know who I am. I have my actual birth parents, but you know our story down here. So
What do you think about that lady who said she was African American and she wasn't? Remember that lady?
I reached out to her actually because I thought she was quite interesting.
Really? What happened?
I never heard back from her people. This was about 2008 or 5 of long time. I was just coming off Christina's Court. But I remember it was the young lady. She was working with the NAACP.
NAACP, yeah.
She was working with some of our – I was intrigued by her. And then as I watched her documentary, because that's what I was calling her for. But I just I like that people like us that much. But I guess it goes back to the self-love thing and like love yourself first too. But thank you for all the work you're doing. But it's like, I'd rather have more ladies that look like that love us.
Interesting.
Than what we have these days.
Yeah.
As long as you don't evade the love for yourself.
Mm.
But I found her really interesting. She just went hard for the culture. I mean, do you have culture vultures too?
I don't think anybody wants to associate themselves with Jews these days.
Why? We're going to have you back because we have tea. Next time we have tea, Dan. Okay? Because
Are we going to spill the tea or are we going to drink tea?
Drink the tea and spill the tea. Okay, you're a good chat. Hey, Dan, go get some chips and some whatever, wings.
Yeah. I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Go get your Super Bowl on.
I can't. It's too commercial. By the way, there's a Snoop Dogg is in a commercial to fight anti-Semitism.
Oh, listen, we don't have enough time today for that. And
Snoop Dogg.
I can't.
I'm gonna watch that. Listen, I can't watch.
You and I need to do my other podcast. Which
there's too many pauses. They take too many timeouts. Every play is reviewed. It's not for me.
Dan, plug your book one more time. We gotta go.
Just hit me up. DanJBerger.com.
No. The name of your book, Dan.
Oh, yeah. The Quest, The Definitive Guide to Finding Belonging.
You guys, if you want to know how to belong, take it from Dan. He's from North Africa. He is self-made by way of New York. He took himself and his friends and found love and a family in Idaho. He is a serial entrepreneur. He knows how to start and exit a business. He's awesome, down to earth. He spent time with us today. Thank you, Dan. We love you. Come back, okay?
Thank you so much for having me. This was a ton of fun.
It was super fun. You made it fun, but we got to have you back out. We got to have you in LA.
Hey, don't tease me with a good time.
No, come to LA for Oscars week. We need to have you for our gifting suite, our celebrity event we have. Maybe you can give some bookmarkers and a couple.
I'll do anything.
Maybe a little fun.
You know what happened? Let me tell you something. My publisher misspelled the title of my book on the cover.
Welcome.
I'm not kidding. That's so actually, up. I have it right here. Yeah, they misspelled the cover. Okay.
You can go to Kinko's.
They wrote the definitive good.
Oh, that's my worst nightmare when I'm exhausted and I have like ADD and I've been on five.
So, guess what?
What?
They sent me another 300 copies because they.
Can I have the ones that are messed up because 'tis life. I want
And then they sent me another 100 for the mistake. So okay. I have 700 books.
You came up. Are you a Sagittarius? You must be lucky.
I'm a Scorpio.
Even better. Listen, you got to get a sticker and put it on there and cross it out and just be like, 'tis life.
That's actually a sticker is not a bad idea.
Just stick it to them. Just be like,
this cover is imperfect, just like you. That's
yes,
all.
Lean into it.
I love that. Someone pay this woman for marketing. Someone pay her for marketing. Hello. Good. Good. Raise your price. I just gave you permission. Raise your price. That was incredible advice.
Thank you. You got to lean into it. You're fucking awesome. I don't usually use the F word on my show. I really enjoy you. Tell your family, thank you for letting us borrow you.
I want you to come to Austin
and bring me the damaged books because I want
anything. I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. Ends of the earth to just give one book away. I'll go anywhere.
Well, I think we can make something even better than that happen. Dan J. Berger, people.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, we start today. Thanks, Sam, for letting us go over. See you guys. Enjoy Super Bowl. Mwah. Ciao.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.